mode of ignorance makes one feel one is independent. Right? Because what's right looks wrong, and what's wrong looks right. That's how the mode of ignorance works. So, according to his desire, means it was his plan to have the children, not the modes of nature, not just lust was there, and so then there's the determination to have children. Because as Gita explains, then Krishna's involved in that, but he is Cupid. He's not the actual act of sex. This is the difference. Is that the purpose for, that drive will be desire. But it won't, so that's connected to Krishna, but the actual begetting of children is not. Therefore, one doesn't get a very good result. Or the result is reduced. So, the idea here is, as a grihastha, we see all throughout these verses, that Prithu Maharaj was able to see everything in connection to the Lord. So as a grihastha, all what he had was connected to the Lord. There was not another purpose. Right? When we think of these kind of interactions and that, we think of sense gratification. But that's not the method. Just like when you're cooking for Krishna, you don't think of sense gratification. But the cooking process involves the senses. Right? Things to see, things to smell, things to taste. But it's not seen as sense gratification. One cooks for Krishna, one offers things to Krishna, one takes the prasad. So it's not a matter of sense gratification, because these senses are engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So, here also in the beginning, the child, there's a mechanical process. That process is followed. So, it's followed because it gets children. It's not followed because it gets sense gratification. Right? The mechanics don't change because one is having a child for Krishna or one is not. That stays the same. What changes is the mentality on why it's being done. Right? Because of our own attachment to sense gratification and our inability to see things connected to the Lord, our inability to accept that whatever is there in the universe is the Lord. We make a distinction between the Lord and His creation and the activities of the creation and the Lord. Therefore, we will say, no, it's just sense gratification. But the person who says that, yes, it's true. That's the person who said it's mentality. That simple. We're discussing mechanics here. The whole world has a way things work. You want a tree to grow, you put it in the ground. It grows. Now, whether you're growing it for Krishna or you're growing it so it looks beautiful for yourself, that makes it whether it's sense gratification or devotional service. Mechanics don't change. Right? Prabhupada says it's a change in the mentality. That's the point. So for Prithu Maharaj, even though he has all facilities, all opulence, everything he has, he sees how it can be engaged in the Lord's service. The engagement is no different than if he was a gross materialist. Right? We'll say, no, the gross materialist does things differently. But that's dualism. Right? Dualism meaning mundane. Means how is it different? It's God's creation. How is it that a materialist can use God's creation different than God's laws allow? Right? If you come up to a machine and you want to use it, whether you're a pure devotee or you're a gross materialist, is there a different way the machine works? Right? You know, in your blender, if you're a devotee, it spins one way, and if you're not a devotee, it spins the other. That's how you know. Right? So you just have to kind of like look a little bit when they're looking. You can tell how much. And then if they're too mixed, you know, you can't quite tell. It doesn't go spin at all, right? You know, that's how you know. And they go, hey, what's wrong with your blender? Nothing's wrong with the blender. It's what's wrong with you. You know, it's like that. No, it doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the materialist, when they drive, the car goes straight. The devotee goes sideways or it goes backwards, you know. much more cool, right? You're going in traffic and you're driving along. You know, you think you're doing pretty good on the highway there. You know, you're doing your 160 like that, 1 kilometer more, and the police will take your car away. But, hey, you're doing cool. And then another car goes by backwards, right? You know, and they're smiling and laughing because they're devotees, right? And you're grumpy because you're a materialist, right? But it goes by backwards. You know, it's like, wow, what's that? And then the other guy says, oh, don't you know? They're devotees, right? You know, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't work. Like, mechanics don't change. We have this false illusion that the mechanics change. No. If what you're doing because of your mentality, you're doing something stupid, then that might change the quality of your work. But the work itself won't change. Right? Before joining Krishna consciousness, you're eating and sleeping. Right? After joining Krishna consciousness, we're eating and sleeping. But what changes? The quality of it. Not the method. Does that make sense? Cooking doesn't change. Eating doesn't change. It's what you eat, what you cook. But that's because of your mentality. So the quality of it, because if it's for you, it's one thing. If it's for Krishna, it's another thing. But the mechanics of cooking don't change. This is the secret. Nothing changes. It's your mentality that changes. Right? So the problem is we think I've adjusted the impurity of the action. So now it's 100% devotional. That you adjusted it, that's what's devotional. But unless you're using that adjusted work for Krishna, it's still not up to the standard. It's still not pure devotional service. So Prita Maharaj, as a king, as a grihastha, then whatever he had, he used in the Lord's service. So then it is devotional. Right? And if he doesn't, then it's not. So it's possible. Here's Prithu Maharaj and other parts of the story. We have Yudhishthira and his brothers. Right? So there's so many examples of great kings, powerful kings with all facility. And they're able to connect everything to the Lord. So that's the position. So the idea here is Prabhupada's bringing out of these samskars are very useful, because the Vedic system is what is the best thing to offer to the Lord? Because you're going to have to offer something, so why not offer the best? Vedic system gives the best results. But of course, anything that gives the best results means it's more sophisticated. It takes more qualification to work with it. That's why it says a human being can work with varnashram. Someone who's not won't. It's simple. It's not a matter of is this practical or not. It's a matter of whether you can relate to it or not. Right? So the Vedic system, then it gives the samskars, because what it is you're creating impressions. So if the child is created by the consciousness of the parents, if the parents are conscious in a progressive way, then that's going to attract that particular kind of soul. So that's why Prabhupada, you see, of all the samskars that he talks about the most, generally it's this one. Because based on this one, then all the other ones have meaning. Right? Because then they're refining the quality of living entity that has been attracted. So then it's a matter of progression. Then refining the intelligence, refining the health, refining the digestion, refining their stableness and steadiness, refining their ability to apply it in education, right? Be able to apply the same principle to their parents in their life. Right? So that's what the samskars are doing. So that's, therefore they're recommended because they're useful, they're good. Just like if somebody's saying, well, you could use the butter knife to try to, you know, cut the vegetables and prepare for lunch, or you could use this very nice, you know, specially made knife for cutting vegetables. Right? And so we can say, no, we're devotees. We chant Hare Krishna. We don't care about all these rules. You know, the butter knife works fine. My mother used a butter knife, and her mother used a butter knife. We're a line of butter knife users, you know. So what's the problem? Why I should be so fanatic and change now? You know, I haven't changed for the last, you know, 10 billion lifetimes. So why should I change now? You know? But yes, that's true. If it's for you, if it's for you and your mother and your dynasty, yes, use the butter knife. But if it's for Krishna, then you consider using his culture. That's the whole point. Because when we say we don't care for the rules, who's this we? Right? That's the whole point. You know, that the statement. You know, who's this we, white man? Right? Because it's not about us. It's about Krishna. It's about Krishna. We always make it about ourselves. When we say, oh, we don't care for the rules, we means me. Not Krishna. Krishna's the one that made the rules. If you look in Nectar Devotion under the 64 qualities of Krishna, one of them is he follows the rules of the Vedas. Right? Check it out. I think it's the second of the last, one of the last ones. He follows the rules of the Vedas. Why? Because the Vedas are what he likes to do. Right? That's the advantage of being God. What you want to do, you write the rules, and then you follow them because you're doing what you want to do. So it works out perfectly. So all he's doing is inviting us to live that lifestyle that he lives. That's all. That's the idea. So here then, the idea of the samskar, then it has meaning, because otherwise it's just lust. It's just the desire that's driven. So it's basically speaking, yes, only skin deep. That's it. So technically the relationship between the husband and wife, the concept of the child, the future life together, it's not even part of the equation. We're only dealing with the skin here. So therefore, skin disease. So the idea is do you actually want to make things work nicely in consideration of Krishna and all our relations with Krishna, then this is something that's recommended. It works very nicely. Works very nicely. So it's the recommendation. And he said he begot children as a grihastha for the future administration of his government all over the world. Right? So he was thinking, how will these children function in the future? Now, in between that point and the future, yes, you'll get that interaction as children, as a family, and all that. But the point is he's left something for the world. Any questions or comments? Yes. Seem to be missing the mic. Ah, here it is.
My question is, why do the Pandavas, being perfect householder devotees, pure devotees, why did they take sannyas?
Why did they take sannyas? Isn't that just the natural progression, the way things go?
Bhakti.
Sorry?
They have bhakti.
They have bhakti. But the point is how are you going to express? Right? Means, in other words, you have bhakti, now what are you going to do with it? Does that make sense? If I hand you a bucket load of bhakti, what are you going to do with it? You know what I'm saying? Having it is nice. That's what's meant by from the heart. Is you have it. But now you have to express it. And that's through relationships, through activity, right? So Krishna likes that interaction, that when you're young, you're a student, when you're in the middle, you're grihastha, and at the end, then you're renounced. That's the way to work with the world. Because the point is now if you're renounced, then there's nothing specifically for you to gain. So all that experience can be given to others, right? Does that make sense? Because at that point, it's not a matter of the possession between husband and wife, it's what's proper for sadhana. You understand? It means a man in grihastha ashram, how much can he do or not do with the world? What's it dependent upon? Right? It's dependent upon how much his wife is comfortable with. because that sense of possession, she has to feel secure. This is my husband. He's here for me whenever I need. Right? So when you go through a whole life of that, and you're convinced that the husband's always there, then when at some point relaxes, and then it's now what's better for the world. But that takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight. Just like the man's desires and needs for that interaction don't go away immediately. Right? Does that make sense? So then that's the time when one shares with others one's understanding. So it's just a natural progression. So it's not that the Pandavas require that to express their bhakti. No, that's just the way Krishna likes it done. Does that make sense? How do you know they went to the mountains? It says so. So how do you know it says so? Okay. And how many billions of people have read that? Right? Like if one of us takes sannyas, how many people know that? Right? They take sannyas, and the whole world knows it. So it's happening. It's working. Is that okay? No.
This is a section about Garbhanan Samskara, and yes. You're saying how Prabhupada said that Garbhanan Samskara, it's the one samskara that he emphasized.
We see it coming up again and again. Also, marriage is there, but marriage gives rise to Garbhanan.
Yeah. So my question is if a devotee couple has somehow or other messed up, and they produced a child without Garbhanan Samskara, is it doomed? Is it a doomed situation?
It's not a doomed situation. It's just not ideal. The point is that knowing the importance of it, then grihasthas will consider it in their plan. But if it's not considered important, no one will worry about it. Right? So, generally, according to Jaimini, whatever is repeated or glorified in the scripture, then you know that's important. You should take it into serious consideration. So that's the idea of bringing it out so that one will make that attempt. But the point is, by chanting and everything, then it's always perfect. But it's like if one is, by chanting one becomes purified. So if someone is already purified before taking up serious chanting, that's always an advantage. Otherwise, the chanting process will work. I mean, the example is us sitting here, right? So, I mean, unless, of course, your parents use Garbhadanan. You know what I'm saying? But us here, it's not exactly that. The first generation, that's generally not a prominent element of their, you know, existence. Right? But it's being given for those. That's what the Vedic culture is there, is that the principles of it work, so it's being offered. Right? Because Prabhupada doesn't say you have to, you must. He says that this is what's recommended. Because the chanting process will work despite, right? So even a devotee's not interested in the Vedic culture, doesn't have any appreciation of it, he still advances because of chanting and associating with devotees. But it's a tool that makes life so much easier. Devotees have questions about social organization and interactions on all levels of, you know, personal and social life that they have no answers to. Right? And they're trying this and trying that. So they're speculating about it. But the Vedic culture, there are answers. And so it makes it very clear, very easy. So it's being recommended like that. That's the idea. If you take it, it just makes your life that much easier. If you don't take it, the chanting process, if you stick to it, still will work. It just means it may be a little bit, on the social platform, a rougher ride. You know? That's all. Is that okay? Okay. Yes.
Prabhupada recommends to chant minimum of 50 rounds as the Garbhadan Samskara. But what was the formal Garbhodan Samskar in the Vedic time? Was it Yagya or what?
No, it's not Yagya. Still, it's two mantras. You know, we're not talking a biggie here. It's two mantras, but the mantras themselves, they have potency. They explain about how one is, you know, trying through proper consciousness to conceive of a proper child for engagement in the Lord's service. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, therefore there's that concentration. And it's said before, right? So generally people like to get all jiggy before. So to be able to stop that and say this mantra means they have to have some character. So even though we're talking two mantras, it's something serious. Like that. Now, the persons who were doing that, they were engaged in sadhana, they were doing all these different things. So the most important is these elements of sadhana. So if that's there, but the point is then that means you're already contemplating the concept before. Right? So the idea of the Garbhodan is that it brings the endeavor into the mode of goodness, because it's something you're supposed to do according, and you follow the rules, and there's a plan, right? So it's not something that just happens. One is planning for the child. One is contemplating what kind of qualities you want the child to have, right? Means the character you're looking for, the consciousness, the character, not the bodily symptoms, right? I mean, you don't sit around and go, you want something with blonde hair and blue eyes, right? That's not how it works, right? So it's a matter of consciousness. So if that's planned, then you know like this. Then there's a proper time. You have to set the time. And so then, like this, it's known what's happening. So it brings to the mode of goodness. It's not something that'll just happen on its own, right? So it may lack the magic of the mode of ignorance and mode of passion, but it has the strength and solidness of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, you're actually more conscious, right? So actually there's more benefit from the experience. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's all, the idea, the principle is that it's planned beforehand, rather than it just somehow or another by the modes of nature happen. That's why it says according to his desire. So he would have planned that. I mean, that he has five kids means he would have discussed that with his wife. So it's all coming from before. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the principle. So chanting of 50 rounds, then that means there's a plan.
So there's this concept of an international organization of devotees wasn't really there in Vedic culture. There's no real history of that. So how do we apply Vedic knowledge in relationship to such a big worldwide organization?
Prithu Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj were known as lords of the seven continents. So, and Antarctica is not counted as a continent. You know, Oceania is the seventh continent. So then, you don't get much more international than that. You know, like that. So the point is the culture's followed everywhere. It's laws of nature. So laws of nature, doesn't matter where you are on the planet, they still apply. It's that feeling of independence that will say, no, I'm independent from the laws. What I feel like is the law. But it's described in Gita, that's the mode of ignorance. Doing something because of whim. Right here it says desire, not whim. Right? They were not born whimsically or by accident. They were born by desire. It means there was a plan. Because desire, in the Vedic concept, comes after contemplating the field. You contemplate the field, what's there, what's available, what you can get from that field, what's the purpose of all the elements, what would be your place within it, what are the activities. From seeing that, then you become inspired. That, yes, I can do this. There's something valuable. So that stage is called desire in the Vedic. Like that. Then having that means there's already an understanding and a plan a goal. All that's happened is you haven't executed it yet. Right? So that's the meaning of desire from the Vedic viewpoint. You know, so in the contemporary, then desire and whimsical, they're kind of the same, just whatever you feel like. But there's actually a difference because we see uses the two words. So whimsical is a mode of ignorance. We'll think I'm independent, but it's just the way the modes are pushing you. Right? So then on the principle, on the sutra of ignorance is bliss, therefore one will think I'm happy because the modes of nature are pushing me and there doesn't seem to be any reason why. Therefore I'm independent. Because if there's a reason, then I'm not independent. But they don't understand as they're being pushed. Right? Like that. So, you know, like that. So again, yeah, Mataji. So.
So whatever I will be thinking about sanskara and hearing, I always think it's no doubt it's a very good thing. But so if you are a devotee and you are smart enough, of course you want to perform sanskara. But in that way, kind of like mood, is you want to perform because you want to have welcome and exalting jivas come to your family.
Right.
And not, you know, unwelcome.
Yeah.
So this is kind of also, it doesn't sound for me very pure.
It doesn't sound pure that you want a pure soul in your family.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like a mood as a service, you know. What's the, like,
it's not a service, but then the point is, grihasthas do what? I mean, if there's one thing you can say that's the common principle of grihasthas, what do? They have children, no?
Yeah.
Right? Because it means if you have a brahmachari or a vanaprastha sannyasi and they're not walking around with kids, you don't think it's weird. Right? But if a grihastha is walking around, there's no kids, especially if they look older, it's kind of like, oh, you know, where are your kids? Are they grown up? Or this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's always the question. I mean, from what I understand is anybody who gets married, then within a very short time, anywhere from the next day to, you know, a year or two, depending upon the social background they're from, they want to know where the kids are. Right? Everybody else in the family is, you know, so where are the kids? Right? You know, hey, I want to be a grandmother. Where are the kids? You know, so like that, you know, so does that make sense? So that's natural because why? If the grihasthas didn't have kids, then after a while there wouldn't be anybody left. And, right? And if there's nobody left, then devotional service doesn't really go well. Right? Does that make sense? So the idea is, in a sense, that's the service, is to have children. So then you would want to do the best thing for Krishna, right? Just like if you want to cook lunch for Krishna, you go to the market, what do you pick? The best or the worst vegetables? The worst ones are real cheap. You get a deal on them, right? But the other ones are more expensive. It means you have to put in, that to have that money for that and have that value means you had to put in time and energy, right? So you want to offer the best thing for service to Krishna. But the idea is one has that interest, therefore one is in that position to take part in that service for Krishna. Does that make sense? The nature is there to be a grihastha, so therefore that person does that. Like Sukadev doesn't really have the nature for that. So he doesn't have Krishna, have children. Does that make sense? Right? But someone who has the nature, like here, Pritumaras is a Kshatriya. So Kshatriyas by standard are always married, so that means they have children. So therefore, for him, as part of the occupational duties, then he naturally has kids. Right? Because we're taking, does that make sense? So that we're an individual and we have particular interests, that's not what defines pure devotional service. It's whether the endeavor and the results and the identity in that service are connected to Krishna. That's what makes it pure. Does that make sense? Okay? That's where we make the mistakes. That's why I said in the beginning, it's not that the activity changes. Right? Because here, this kind of presentation most likely would not be a standard presentation. Right? It's going to be that, you know, having children is sense gratification. It's only sense gratification if it's for you. If the children are for you, then it's sense gratification. If the children are for Krishna, it's not sense gratification. Right? Just like when you cook for cook, and you're going to offer the deity, it's not for you, so it's devotional service. But if you're cooking for yourself, then that's there. All right, but at the same time, you can have it, it may be mixed. You want for Krishna, but there's also something you want out of it. So it's mixed. So that's not as good as pure. But the process doesn't change. Does that make sense? You have to use that strange device.
So mode also is what kids will be for Krishna.
Yes. Isn't that the idea? Because the point is human life is meant to serve Krishna. Right? If you're a dog and you're having kids, then you might consider whether or not they're for Krishna, right? But it, generally, if you're a dog and you're considering this, there's a good chance you'll want to do that for Krishna. You understand? If you're not considering it, don't worry about it. But if you're a human, then it's something that is worried about.
It's said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said some comment about his father when he got married again. What's happening there, the different mentality of...
Lord Chaitanya got married again.
I don't have a problem. I'm quoting what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said.
You actually want to get into the personal, private discussions between two eternal associates of the Lord and their harassment. What does the Dvaitacharya say about Nityananda Prabhu? Well, yeah, he's an avadhu. He doesn't care for any rules, you know, like this. Right? But then when Nityananda throws the rice on him, what happens? He dances in ecstasy. Right? Because he respects Nityananda. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, anything, he was all about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? His place was called Bhaktivinoda Asan, the sitting place of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? From there is that his instructions will go out. So everything about him was always about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But here, if they joke amongst themselves that, Vishayi, like this and that, you know, because he's taking the role of showing the perfect Naistik Brahmachari, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing the perfect Grihastha. So then in that way, because the element of renunciation being considered more important than attachment, you know, in way of liberation in connection with the material world. So therefore he could have some fun that way, right? It means grown sons and fathers don't joke, right? You know, it's not that he made the comment when he was six. You know what I'm saying? No, it's just it means the point is that just they having some fun like that. So one has to understand is there is the personal relationships between them and who they are in the spiritual world and how they relate. That's also, we don't know. So that's why it's said amongst the advanced devotees, their discussions on that we don't take seriously, right? And like Gorky Short, as Babaji Maharaj is saying, when I die, you know, because I'm lower than, you know, a dog dragged me through the streets. So then the others think, yes, we're being very sticking to the order like that, you know. But Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, that's not. That's his humility. So these are just symptoms of their, you know, their particular relationship. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do we understand some pure devotees like Advaita Acharya and...
Like?
Advaita Acharya. His children, three of them, they didn't become devotees. So how, and some other examples also.
Because it's the material world. The material world doesn't necessarily work the way we want it to. We have to understand it's not the begetting of children that's devotional service. It's the mentality to do it for Krishna that's devotional service. You understand? Does that make sense? Just like you want to cook for Krishna, right? And you're cooking for Krishna, but does every prep turn out perfect? No. And so what's the problem? What's the problem if the prep doesn't come out perfect? Is there a problem? Am I using the wrong example? You don't know how to cook. Kirtan. Okay. So every kirtan is a rip-roaring, snorting kirtan, right? You know, the walls are sweating, people are bouncing off of it. It's every time it's like that, right? You know? The people are swooning in ecstasy and, like, you know, just like that, you know, getting forearms going back to Godhead right on the spot. Yeah, it's happening, no? Right? Every kirtan, no? No. So the point is that we're dealing with the material energy. So therefore, you know, it doesn't always go perfectly. Because the way the modes are moving, because we're engaging the modes in the Lord's service, but those modes, you know, whatever combination is there, that we can't say. We try, according to our ability, make the best arrangement. So it's our endeavor to do that for Krishna that's the devotion. It's not how nicely the kartal was played, or the drum, or the particular tune, or the tone of the voice, and the timbre. It's not any of that. That's the medium you're using, right? Does that make sense? It's not the potato that makes devotional service. It's not the madunga that makes devotional service. It's that you're using it for Krishna, right? Because there's some people, they do kirtan and they do it for money. So it's a job. So it's not devotional service. But same kirtan, same tunes. We're sitting there going, you know, watching and going, wow, hey, that's a cool tune. And wow, hey, look at the way he plays in the drum. And then we'll use that for Krishna. But he's not. You understand? So the endeavor to have children is like any other endeavor in your life. Is that you do your best, and then let's see what happens.
So like it is not a guarantee that you will get like a good child if you do all the samskaras.
Is it a guarantee when you get out of bed in the morning that the whole day you're going to be perfectly Krishna conscious? You know what I'm saying? So, if it's a problem, you want a 100% guarantee, then there's an easy solution. You follow in the path of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who did not get married and have any children. Right? Point is everybody's taking a risk. Right? So in other words, the kshatriya is taking a risk that his dealing in the political field will be successful, that he'll have a nice situation to engage in Krishna consciousness, right? The businessman, he's taking a risk that, you know, his investment will give results that can be used for Krishna, right? So the grihastha is taking that risk that they'll have family members that can be engaged in the Lord's service. So one's nature is defined what you're willing to take a risk in. Right? One may say, well, what about the person who does nothing? That's a risk also. To be a lazy bum is a risk. You know, people may not like you. You may not get facility, no recognition. So it's a risk, but he's willing to do it because it's his nature. You know what I'm saying? So where you're willing to take the risk, that's your nature. Is that okay?
What risk does the Brahmins take?
Knowledge, giving knowledge to people who don't appreciate it. That's the risk. Because you're only supposed to give it to persons who've qualified, means that they really want that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But it's a risk, because basically many are sitting here because it's Bhagavatam class and Prabhupada said you're supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying?
And the Diksha Gurus?
Huh?
Diksha Gurus? The risk?
The risk is that the disciples may follow the instruction or may not, because they have to take the reactions to their, you know, the karma. Like that. And they may have more, so it may overwhelm. So it's a risk. Like that. Everybody's taking risk in their occupation. You know, occupation means risk. Because prosperity is there, that means there's an investment, and then you get back more. Right? Does that make sense? So if you don't get back more, then that's a loss. So you put in the endeavor, and if the result means the natural fruit of that endeavor comes, then that means that it was prosperous, it worked. But if it didn't, then you try again. You see different ways to go, you know what I'm saying? It didn't work, so you find a different way for the teacher to present it, or the businessman, you know, how he invested his money, or what he invested it in, or what was his audience, you know, or means his you know, how you say, his customers. Yeah, you understand? So, in other words, then if it didn't work, then they adjust it until it does. But that's their endeavor, is trying to sense the results for Krishna, their endeavor to get the best result for Krishna. That's their service. Whether it comes out great or not, that's up to Krishna. For Krishna, it doesn't matter. They build Govindaji temple. If you've seen Govindaji, personally, you know, maybe my opinion, but I don't think there's anything architecturally better than that in the world. More detail, more refinement, how nicely it's set up. Plus, it was just for the deities. And we're looking at 1/5 of what was there. 4/5 was taken down by the you know, the local management. You know what I'm saying? So now, why would something so perfect be dismantled? Why would Krishna allow it? Because it's not the temple that's impressive to Krishna. It's the endeavor to make something so perfect for him. Does that make sense? So for Krishna, it's not the result that you got. It's your endeavor to get the best result. Yeah, that's the thing. Because we're not the controllers, so therefore we can't say. But we do our best, you know, despite what it's going to be. That's why it says work according to your nature, because you're willing to take the risk. If we do a job other than our nature, we're only doing it from the benefits. We're not willing to take the risks. Right? But if it's our nature, we're willing to take the risk. Therefore, we're more fully engaged. Right? So, okay, last point. Okay.
Just a short comment. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that I would have 100 children if I was sure that they would become Krishna conscious.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. Because the point is one is trying to, so that's not his nature. Right? He's manifesting the nature of a Naistika Brahmachari. So that field to put in the endeavor and focus on then wouldn't do. But his point being made is that it's a good endeavor, right? But the point is it has to be for Krishna. Anything if it's not for Krishna is useless, and anything that's for Krishna is useful. So that's the point. Sannyas means is that while performing the endeavor, you're already understanding that the result's for Krishna, right? So that means here, Prithu Maharaj is, by mood, the perfect sannyasi. Because whatever he has is being done for Krishna. So that's what we're looking for, right? But if we don't catch it by the mood, by hearing the philosophy and by associating with the devotees, then the idea is through the mechanics of going through the four ashrams, then ideally it should arise within our consciousness. You know, that's the idea. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, ideally the person comes into the temple the first time, you know, here's the philosophy, surrenders to Krishna, right? Because that's the first option, right? But if they don't do that, then they wash pots for 6 months, right? Because their mind is off here and there and everything, but their body at least is engaged in Krishna's service. And then by that, they become purified, and then slowly, slowly, the mind, the intelligence become connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So once all the mechanics, all the ritual, all the forms that are there within the Vedic culture are meant for the principle of simply engaging oneself fully and wholly in Krishna's service. That's all it's meant for. So depending upon conditioning, someone, it'll be easier, they have less issues with, you know, it means in body, mind, and words, you have less issues in some area. So that area will connect quicker. And they have more issues in another area, so those connect slower. Right? So that's the whole idea, is then how to make that connection. And so all this variety of activity is there, but all the variety of activity. It doesn't matter whether it's brahmacharya, grihastha, sannyasi, or brahmana, or shudra. It doesn't matter. The whole purpose is engage your body, mind, and words in the Lord's service according to your nature. That's all. That's what's recommended. Is that okay? Okay, so I'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktabrinda ki, Jainatai Gaurapinanda.